Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 2nd of July. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour, and we have a special happening going on this hour, and you are going to get some personalized book recommendations. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Nancy, of course, has been with us for many years now, I think since she wrote Book Lust in 2003, and then more Book Lust, and then Book Crush, recommendations of all kinds of books for young people. She has worked as a librarian and a bookseller in Detroit, Tulsa, and Seattle. She's on National Public Radio. She became the 50th winner a few years ago of the Women's National Book Association Award. I always love to say this about her because I think it was just a marvelous idea. She's from most recently Seattle, and in 1998, was it that long ago, she developed the program If All of Seattle read the same book, and then people, including in Milwaukee, did the same thing, read different books, but people would gather in book clubs and read the same book. So Nancy is with us this hour to give us book recommendations for the summer, to answer questions that you may have about great books, and you may want to talk about what you're reading right now. I've noticed even Newsweek magazine has a cover story of this issue. They have two issues this week, one on Michael Jackson and one on what to read now, which is great. Good to see everybody doing that. Here's our phone number. Lines get very crowded for Nancy, so call as early as you'd like. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655, or the email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi. Happy summer.
Oh, you too. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, wonderful to have you here. Now, we have a special project. Tell me how you're doing this. Why do I like the books I like, will give people recommendations?
Yeah, you know, people are always interested in hearing about a book or hearing about books that they might like. And it occurred to me that when people are really thinking about a book just like the book they liked, that what they're trying to do is not find a book necessarily in the same genre, or find a book that's either specifically fiction or nonfiction. But what they want to do is replicate the experience they had reading the book, whether it was one of sort of delving into characters' lives or a kind of page turner, or whether it was the sense of really being in another place and knowing that place because of the way the author describes it so well, or just the kind of being in the presence of the kind of writing that just awes us, that we find so beautiful that it doesn't really matter what the book is about or if it's about anything at all. And so I developed a little survey that has four different little tiny sections. Each one, if a person will think of a specific book and for that specific book, pick the sentence in each one of these four areas that best fits their view of that book, supposedly, if things go well, if it works as it's supposed to, we should be able to do a better job figuring out what kind of book that person is looking for.
Oh, that's interesting. So if people go to our website, they go to WPR.org, and then you mouse around and find Done, and then it'll be there.
Right.
So people should take the survey.
Yes, and then what will happen is you all will send me the results of the survey, so people should include their email address if they want a response. And I am working with a group of what used to be called library school students, now called information school students at the University of Washington, to come up with probably three suggestions of books for each person who sends in the form.
Great.
Might take a while, but we should get it done.
Uh-huh.
It should be done.
And then you'll find out if this works or not. It seems to me as though it will.
I think it works. I'm concerned. The big thing that I'm concerned about now is whether the questions are, whether the descriptive phrases, because they're not really questions, whether the descriptive phrases really get to the heart of what I'm trying to get to the heart of. But it's the way I've been suggesting books to people in my career as a bookseller and a librarian, and I think it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would expect it would work because you do a pretty good job of it, Nancy.
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And I think that it's the kind of thing that people, if we could somehow make it widely available, it's the kind of thing that people could take with them when they go to the library or a bookstore and have the kinds of lists available, character-driven books, in ways that we don't arrange our libraries at all anymore, or ever did. You know, we divide our libraries, we divide the bookstores into fiction and nonfiction, which is, in many ways, I think, a kind of useless, a not useful distinction. It's not useless, but it's not useful when you're thinking about looking for something good to read.
Right.
So how it all came about. And I thought, well, since every time I'm on your show, we always get the best callers and just such interesting questions and books and what people are reading, I thought, who would be better to try to see if this really does work than your listeners?
All right. Well, listeners, go to the website and we'll figure out if it works, WPR.org.
And we could do some on air, too, if people want.
Oh, good.
You know,
okay.
Because the form is there and I have the form in front of me. And so if they wanted to answer it on air, we could start with that.
Okay.
If you wanted to.
Sure, that's fine, Nancy. So that means that you should go to the website now, WPR.org, why do I like the books I like, and fill out this questionnaire. The questions are really interesting, and then Nancy can respond to you, too. So if you want to do that right now and then call to the show. Hey, we can do it right off the bat. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. One of the questions, and I wonder if you do this often, Nancy, is staying up late to finish a book. I love the stories that people say, I was up till 2 in the morning reading a book, 3 in the morning. Do you do that? Do you miss a lot of sleep? I would imagine you do, that you don't sleep very much because you're reading.
Well, I try not to sleeping is very important to me. but there are certain books that you just have to finish. You just cannot leave in the middle because the protagonist is in such a tricky spot that you've got to make sure that he or she gets out okay. Or the book is just so darn intriguing that you have to go on reading to see where the author's taking you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the last book that happened to me where I really just couldn't, I just resented every moment that I wasn't reading it, was a novel by Nick Harkaway called The Gone Away World.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Nick Harkaway is the son of John le Carré.
Oh, yeah.
And the book shares with his father that certain kind of narrative intensity that le Carré's spy novels have. But it's not that genre at all. It's more a science fiction book, although I wish we would stop putting books in genres like that. But the thing about The Gone Away World is that it's very hard to talk about because I don't want to tell people anything about it because you have to discover it as you go along. But I think it's safe to say that that it is set after an apocalyptic event and the main character, there's a lot of humor. There's a mime troupe that appears at various times in the book that adds a lot of wonderful humor to it. And probably the most important thing, I think, is that the author, maybe two-thirds of the way through, there is a plot twist of such magnitude that it will blow your socks. I mean, when I got to that part, I mean, I had been having little inklings of suspicion as I was reading. I mean, just out of nowhere, this thought came to me, like, why didn't the author do this? And then I started paging back and seeing if the author had done that. And then I got to the plot twist.
Ah.
And then I thought, now I have to go back and see all the clues he's given.
Ah.
So it is a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous book. And that's the book. One of the books that I just felt, oh my, yeah, I mean, I just couldn't not read it.
Right. The Gone Away World.
Yes.
Okay. You say you don't like putting books in genres. If you were arranging a bookstore, how would you arrange it, Nancy?
Well, I think I would arrange it by these, what I call these doorways, which is what the the survey, I think, gets at. I think that there are people who primarily enjoy character-driven books, whether they're fiction or nonfiction. So these are the readers who love Ann Tyler or John Irving, or memoirs like The Liars Club or A Girl Named Zippy. So I would do a whole character section. I would do a whole story-driven section, which would include all of those thrillers like Lee Child or Steve Martini, or Mike Lawson is a newer thriller writer who is pretty darn exciting. Many mysteries, I think, could go in there, although I think some mysteries are primarily character-driven, and the mystery is not as important to the author as kind of evoking and developing the characters. So I think somebody like Elizabeth George's mysteries, or a writer that I'm really now quite addicted to is a mystery writer named Jane Haddam. And her characters are everything about the book. The mystery, I think, is something that's much less interesting to many readers, not just me. And then I would have a section of setting where you really feel when you read the book like you're there. And that could include armchair travel, armchair adventure. But all of those, the Tuscan Sun books.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a new book out called Too Much Tuscan Sun, which I think is just a great title. And then I think there could be a section for people who love well-written books. And what I've discovered is that only people for whom the writing, the quality of the writing is important, will begin a discussion. If I say to somebody, well, tell me about a book you liked, they will say, I only like well-written books.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those people, it's the Pulitzer winners, the Booker Prize winners, the Giller Prize in Canada. That's the clearly what was most important to the judges was not how fast the story moves, but was the quality of the writing and the way the characters were developed.
Yeah. I may fall into that category as I take this, and so I'm going to ask for my recommendation for the summer, and then we'll go to phone calls. My responses were, question one, this book was very well written.
Right.
Number two, I kept rereading sentences and paragraphs because they were so evocative. Number three, I'm in awe of the way the author could put words together. And number four, reading this book was like reading a poem I loved.
Yes.
That's me.
That's you.
That's
yes.
me.
Yes. And so, you know, the writers that we would, that I think that I would suggest to you are Ann Michaels. Do you remember she wrote a book? She has a brand new book coming out. And reading that book is like poetry. Or Annie Dillard's book, which I think is called The Mayfields, in which, or Michael Ondaatje is another one. What's his name? Saramago, Jose Saramago, the Portuguese Nobel uh-huh. Prize winner.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of those people, where it's the kind of thing where you just the writing is what just entrances you. And I think that for that reason, because the writing in The Gone Away World is so good, that would be a way of taking you a little bit out of that very kind of narrow category of literary fiction into something that will, because I'm always in favor as a librarian of introducing people, of giving people the opportunity to explore the wide, wide world of books.
Right. And that's what I love about you, because by golly, you do that, Nancy. It's the wide world of books for you, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah.
And it's the sadness, I think, that I have when people just stick to one particular genre or one particular type of book, because I think that it's a mistake when we talk about a canon of books that people need to read, that literary canon. Because if you don't like a book, that book is not a good book for you. And you're not going to, you know, I think their enjoyment should be such an important part of what we're talking about when we're talking about reading and the love of reading.
Yeah. All right, let's go to phone calls. And go to our website, too. You can do this on the air. It'd be fun for somebody to start us off. Go to WPR.org, and Nancy has compiled Why Do I Like the Books I Like? If you answer the questions, she can give you what you probably will like and put you outside your comfort zone, too, so that you will find a whole new genre, probably, as she just did for me. So do that now. And if you don't get an answer today, she's going to compile all of these with librarians she's working with, and you'll get your own. It is great. You'll get your own book recommendations. Here's our number, 800-486-8655. Ooh, so much time has gone by. We need to pause for a moment. We'll return and start taking your calls with librarian extraordinaire Nancy Pearl on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now for Nancy Pearl, and we start with Nina from Madison. Hi.
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 Hi, Nina. Hi.
Go right ahead.
Oh, no, you can go first.
Well, you're on the air.
Oh, well, my name is Nina, and one of my favorite books I like is called Elsewhere by Zevin. Sorry.
Oh, can you tell us about that book?
Well, basically, it's about a girl who, in the beginning, she dies, and they follow her in the afterlife, and in a way, she can also check back on her family that she left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And later, she just learns that after a while, she needs to live on with her new life in the afterlife.
Right.
And her
right.
family
it was a good,
behind.
It was a good
okay.
book, wasn't it? Gabriel Zevin's book. Did you read The Lovely Bones?
Excuse me?
Did you read the book The Lovely Bones?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay, that's another book that you might want to take a look at. It's a little bit grittier than the book that you described, than the Zevin book, but it would be, I think, one that you would enjoy.
The Lovely Bones.
Right, by Alice Siebold.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much for the call. We go to Stefan from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I've read a few different genres, but the one that I probably enjoyed the most was Michael Moorcock's. He has a whole series on The Eternal Champion that I really enjoyed. And I've read some of R.A. Salvatore's works with kind of the same series for Drizzt.
Right.
And I think, yeah, those were probably my favorite books.
So one of the interesting things about reading fantasy is that one of the qualities that fantasy shares with historical fiction, for example, is the sense of place, that when you're reading, though, like the R.A. Salvatore books, which are all pretty much set in the same world. I mean, it's the world building that these fantasy writers do so well. One of the champion world builders was, of course, J.R.R. Tolkien, and which I assume you've read.
Yes.
Okay. So another writer that you might enjoy is George R.R. Martin. Have you read those?
No, I haven't heard that name before.
Okay. Okay. Take a look at the George R.R. Martin. It's now a quartet. Called The Songs of Fire and Ice.
Okay.
And start with the very first one because you have to read these in order. A lot of series you don't necessarily have to, but this one you have to read in order. And then the fifth one should be out by the time you finish the first four.
There you go. That's perfect.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much. Do you like series books, Nancy?
Do I like series books?
Uh-huh.
I usually get disappointed in them. Just because I feel like the author's getting tired and they're not keeping up with, that first book. Much as I love the Harry Potter book, that first book just blew my mind.
Mm.
I mean, it was so good. I knew as soon as I read it that it would be, just a children's classic. And I loved it, but it, with all the rest of the series, you just didn't have that sense of, or that kind of continuing sense of, oh my gosh,
I think
that you had.
Right. Let's go to Carol next. Hi, Carol. You're on the air.
Hi there. I just finished reading Revolutionary Road after seeing the movie. I had never
Revolutionary Road
by Richard Yates. So what you have to do now with Richard Yates is you have to go back and read The Easter Parade, which is just, I think, even better than Revolutionary Road. So once you finish reading The Easter Parade, then there's a marvelous novella that's set in Madison, I think, or Milwaukee.
Really?
Called Off Keck Road by Mona Simpson. And I think that has the same quality of writing that Richard Yates does, and that same sort of sense of, you know, desolation that Richard Yates does in his book. And then there's a biography of Richard Yates that was pretty interesting to read, because you could see out of what springs inside him that his books came out of.
Mona Simpson. Now, there's a name that I haven't thought of in a long time, but I know I've read Mona Simpson.
Yes, right. She wrote Anywhere But Here.
That's it.
And Off Keck Road was just a little, just a novella, and I think nobody paid attention to it, sadly. But when I read it, I just thought, wow, you know, this is just, I mean, it was so good. So, Kathleen, you would like that a lot, and it would not take you long to read. I know how busy you are.
Okay. Well, the more I talk to you, I just read so much, as you know, nonfiction, that
right.
I never get to fiction, but I have a vacation coming up, so that
will
change.
Oh, and I have a book. I have a
good
book for both you and your sports-loving husband.
Okay.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Good.
It's called The Silver Linings Playbook.
The Silver Linings Playbook.
And it's by, it's a first novel by a young man named Matthew Quick.
Okay.
And the main character is also a young man named Pat Peoples, who has, just as the book opens, been sprung from this mental hospital where he has been for what he thinks is a few weeks, but has actually been 3 years. His mother brings him home. All Pat remembers is that his wife has said that she wants some away time from him. He has no idea why. All of this is just like blocked. But the thing that makes this book, I think, so wonderful is the way that he can, the way that Matthew Quick has made Pat Peoples such a real person. And for sports fans, it's set in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia Eagles fans, I think, are even more intense than maybe the Green Bay Packers fans are. I mean, when you read this book, you will want to go on YouTube and just check out if this is really what they do.
It's saying a lot, Nancy.
And the only way that Pat and his father can communicate is through this, is only when they're watching the Philadelphia Eagles, either in person or on television.
Oh.
And it's just a wonderful, heartwarming, but not soppy or sappy kind of novel. It's just, it's terrific.
Wonderful. All right. We'll get it. And I like books that we can both read. So yeah, that's great. Carol, thanks for your call, I think. And let's go to Eileen from Stevens Point. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. I just really had a comment. Thanks for taking my call. I belong to a book club, have belonged to a book club for about 5 years now, and I just can't believe the wealth of different books that I've had an opportunity to read. And currently we've decided to read a nonfiction book. We're reading My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolt Taylor. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I sure highly recommend it.
I did read it. I think that actually the last time I was on Kathleen's show, somebody emailed me about it.
Okay.
And told me about that book. Another, I think, good book of nonfiction for book clubs is a great memoir called The Suicide Index by a writer named Joan Wickersham. And it's about her trying to understand her father's suicide. But it really goes even sort of beyond that to the whole And suicide touches everybody one way or another, closely or more at a distance. And I know I was once talking about this book on the air on a different show, and the host's stepson had killed himself.
Oh, my.
And while we were talking, you know, I had asked, I knew that, and I had asked him beforehand, would you rather that we didn't talk about this book? And he said, no, it's so important. I think we should. But as he was talking about it, even though it had happened 5 years ago, I mean, he just, tears came to his eyes. I mean, so it's a book that really touches everybody, and it's wonderfully written. That would be a good nonfiction book club book. John Krakauer's book, his third book, about the Mormon community, would be a very good book to discuss.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think this book is just terribly important for anybody who knows anybody who's had a stroke. Boy, the insight from this woman is amazing. So thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Eileen, for your call.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Tim from Milwaukee. Hi, Tim.
Hi. How are you doing?
Fine, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I would just like to mention a book that I read when I was a young man. It really had a profound impact on how I view the world today. And I guess probably a lot to do with what my work and how I believe people should be treated. It was called The Journey Back from Hell. I don't think it's in publication anymore, but it was about the Holocaust and people coming back from, you know, the hell of the Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm reading a book now, Theodore Rex. So I read it before I go to bed, and I think before I go to bed, I wonder what Teddy Roosevelt's up to tonight. And, you know, I know the end of the story, but it's so gripping. It's like I can smell my grandmother's old linen in this book. You know, it's just the early 1900s. It's just so gripping, and you can just taste the taste and smell things. It's just, it's wonderful.
You know, there's another wonderful.
It's hard to
write it's hard to write a boring book about Theodore Roosevelt because he was such an interesting character. But there's a wonderful book about a trip that he took.
Oh, I'm glad
down
you brought
the
that up.
Amazon. Do you remember that?
I remember interviewing the author a few years ago. So it is a wonderful book, Nancy.
But do you remember the title?
Oh, no. Darn. And I was going to bring it up thinking you're going to remember the title. Do you remember,
it's a
Tim?
It's a two-volume book that I'm two sets. And I'm in the second book is Theodore Rex. And it's written by the same guy that wrote Dutch. And I can't think of his name right now.
Right. Well, the other the Teddy Roosevelt book that Kathleen and I are talking about, I remembered the title, is River of Doubt.
Thank you.
And then going off, see, this is what I always like to do is see the way books like take us one to the other. Another wonderful book is called The Lost City of Z.
Yes, I just read that. It's great.
By David Gran.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if you like River of Doubt, I think there's no doubt that you would like, as you did, The Lost City of Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. And it's such a story, isn't it? This guy can't hardly find his way in the subway, and here he is going into the Amazon.
Right. And then once you read that book, you just find Percy Fawcett's name every place.
Yes, how true.
And then another armchair, I'm working on a new book, writing a new book, so that's why I'm really into this.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's called Wanderlust.
Oh, great.
And so it's going to be all of those travel memoirs and explorers, but a travel writer that I've recently just glommed onto is a woman named Sarah Wheeler, and she wrote a book called Travels in a Thin Country, which is about her experiences in Chile. But her best book, her best travel book, I think, well, they're all wonderful, but one that I really enjoyed is called Terra Incognita, which is really a history of South Pole exploration. And, oh, it's fabulous.
You do have this spirit of adventure. You like those books, don't you? And some of them have inspired you to even think about taking trips.
I think about it, but I don't do it. I mean, the thing that I would just like to do is come back to Milwaukee to see you all at WPR.
Oh, Nancy.
That's the extent of my travel.
Well, then we can take a little trip on Lake Michigan.
Yes, right.
Or something.
Right.
All right, let's do it.
Right.
Thanks, Jim, for your call. Let's go next to Jan from Baraboo. Hi, Jan.
Hi there.
Hi.
what I typically like to read is like mysteries, suspense, like James Patterson, Nora Roberts, Mary Higgins Clark, John Sanford, which is great because it takes place in northern Wisconsin and Minnesota. But the question I have is, if I like that sort of book, which they're all kind of the same vein, do you think I would like true crime books?
I think it would depend. That's a really good question. And I think that it would depend on both the true crime book and on your capacity for grit. You know, like how much description you want about the Green River Killer or that you want about, you know, Ted Bundy. I mean, is Ann Rule, who is really one of the best true crime writers around, do you want that much detail?
I don't know.
Yes, right. And see, and only you could answer that.
Her name was Ann Rule?
Yeah, her name is Ann Rule.
Okay, and, I could try reading one.
Try The Stranger. I think it's called The Stranger Beside Me.
The Stranger Beside Me?
Book.
Is that the one about
Ted Bundy?
That's somebody else said they read that, I think.
Yes, and this is, she actually worked with him, if I'm remembering my story correctly, at a hotline, you know, a people in trouble hotline. And then she discovered later who he really was.
Oh.
So you might want to take a look at, you might want to take a look at that.
Thank you.
Oh, that rings a bell. Is it new?
No, very old.
Why have I, maybe you wrote a review. Somewhere it's in my mind.
Yeah, I think because when you think about true crime, you think about Ann Rule.
Oh.
And her books just fill up those true crime things.
See,
but you know, a book that you might like, the caller might like, is John Grisham. John Grisham writes really good true crime.
Right. Thank you. I like John Grisham, but reading it, give me too much of that and makes me sick.
Well, I think it's the difference between watching, like, Law and Order and the CSI. I mean, I can't, all that CSI detail of the, you know, all of that interior.
Right.
I don't like that's too much.
Right, for me. Yeah, it'd be too much for me too. Jan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Clark from. Oh, somebody take the quiz too. We don't have any callers yet. From somebody, go to WPR. Please do it. Please do it right now, and take our. And then you'll get your specific book recommendations. It's Why Do I Like the Books I Like? Go to Kathleen Dunn. There's a thing on our show, and then take the quiz. And then call us at 800-486-8655. Or if you can't do that, answer the survey about the books that you like. And then it will be forwarded to Nancy, and you're going to get a response as to what recommendation she has. But you can also do it right now and then call in, which would be a lot of fun. All right, where am I? Clark, right? Clark from West Bend. Hi, Clark.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Well, I have a real interest in generally science nonfiction, specifically things dealing with the creation of the universe and things like that, how our solar system came to be. And two books, both of which both authors wrote quite a long time ago. Isaac Asimov, of course, now who's long passed away, wrote a book called Wellsprings of Life, which is just incredible. I probably read it five or six times.
Yeah.
It is on a lower age level. I mean, it's probably written for someone in high school, but it does a wonderful job. And there's an author called David E. Fisher that wrote a book. He's written many, but one of them specifically called Of Creation of Atoms and Stars, which I think, again, I've read two or three times at least. And so something maybe newer or older that covers that kind of territory I'd be interested in.
Okay, there's a new book by a woman named Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, Bartusiak, and it is called, let me just think 1 minute, it's called The Day We Found the Universe. I think that you would really like that. She does a lot of that kind of astronomical science kind of things. So she also did one called Archives of the Universe, 100 Discoveries That Transformed Our Understanding of the Cosmos.
Well, those both sound good.
So could try those.
His name again? I couldn't catch it.
I'm sorry, the author?
What did you say, Clark?
Could you spell her last name? I couldn't catch the last name.
Yeah, Bartusiak.
Okay, well, I'll try those out. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thanks very much for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. We have Nancy Pearl as our guest this hour, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to phone calls for Nancy, and let's go to Laura next from Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, I like to read books to the older people in my family. I'm retired, but I just read a book to my my aunt, who's 100.
Oh, my gosh.
Arctic Daughter is the book I read, which was just delightful to read to her. But I have a difficulty finding books. So how would you go about doing that?
Well, I have long thought that there should be a list called, and I compiled one several years ago, called Rated G for Good.
Uh-huh.
But a couple memoirs that come to mind, one is one that I mentioned earlier called A Girl Named Zippy,
mm-hmm.
Growing Up Small in Moreland, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So don't miss that.
Okay.
And the other is, Kathleen, do you remember the book, it's written by a woman named Terry Ryan, and it's about her mother raising children, and her mother entered all these contests.
Oh, yes, I know that book.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the something of the queen of something, the prize winner of Defiance, yeah. Ohio. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So that would be a good one, I think, for reading out loud, too.
Yeah.
Prize winner of Defiance, Ohio.
So I think I would look for memoirs, but I think you want to avoid the kind of gritty, look how much time I spent on drugs kind
right.
of memoir. And or even, you know, what a terrible childhood I had kind of memoirs.
Although I also read a book to my father who was, I guess he was 98, 99 when I read this book to him, about an autistic child.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating to him. And this guy got into a lot of trouble. And I forget, it was written in his voice, but by his father, and it's a fairly new book. And
right.
And I forget the name of it, but it was very interesting to him.
Yeah, I think that what you want to look for are books with a kind of good narrative follow through.
Right. Right.
You know.
Yeah, well that I'm able to find them, but you don't know, you wrote a list, did you say?
Well,
yes,
but it's old. I'm not even sure I could put my hands on it anymore. I think that what you should do is go to your local library,
mm-hmm.
and talk to the librarian about the kinds of books that you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you know, I think if it's older women, there's
my father isn't living anymore, so this is, and I don't see my aunt real often, but I like to take a book when I go. She's also blind,
uh-huh.
and so I once took her the book about a blind man who lived in the 18th century, or the 19th century in the 1800s, who traveled all over Europe.
Oh yes,
fascinating
right.
book. It was
right.
a biography, but so that was she was just really interested in it. But it's hard for me. I just happen upon books that work, but I just
mm-hmm.
you know.
And,
okay,
and
librarians are the answer.
Yes, always.
I love that. Librarians are always the answer. Thanks very much for the call. I don't know if I ever tell you these stories. I love telling the story about my mom, Ethel Kilpatrick Dunn, who used to enter contests as well, Nancy. And I still have the pots and pans, why I like
oh
to shop
God.
At A&P in 25 words or less. She won that. Then she won a shopping spree at a grocery store.
Oh,
she got
God.
15 minutes. And she also won from Wally Phillips' show at WGN in Chicago. She won a three-week cruise with my dad with Richard Simmons in the Caribbean. And they tell this great story of my dad's retired at that point, and he's listening to the radio. He's waking up. My mom's going to work, and Wally's talking to my mother in the air about my father, who he always said, you know, he won the war, World War II, and mom was his prize, et cetera. So she's telling this story, and he's hearing it on the radio and thinking, is this Ethel? Is this Ethel? And then Wally calls him. He still doesn't believe it. He says, is this Bob Dunn, Ethel's husband? This is Wally Phillips. And Ted says, like hell it is. But it turns out it was all true. She had a knack for that. I should have written that book myself, you know, because I remember that. She was a contest. And then, do you do that? We should enter contests, Nancy.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Are we too busy to do that, aren't we, I guess,
yeah,
at this point in time?
That's the only problem.
I know. Then you could take all your adventures. Nancy Perlander's this contest,
right,
to, you know, go on this trip. Or,
right. Nancy Pearl goes to Madagascar.
You could do that anyhow. You're a star. You could just organize a trip like that. Go with Nancy Pearl to Madagascar. I like it. Oh, I haven't thought about mom and contests in quite a while. Actually, I do. I think about it every day, but I haven't told that story in a while. All right, let's go to Sherry from Hilbert. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, this is Sherry.
Oh, Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
That's okay. I guess if I could only read one author for the rest of my life, which would be awful, of course, but it would be Flannery O'Connor.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of the books that I read lately that I really loved were Gilead.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't read, I know she has a new one since then, but I was afraid to read it because Gilead was so good. I'm afraid I'd be disappointed. And Stones from the River, uh-huh, I loved. And Cormac McCarthy, I like a lot, but the book I called about is called Silence. It's by Shusaku Endo, uh-huh, a Japanese author, and when I finished that book, I didn't even read anything else for about 2 weeks. It just seemed like anything else would be trivial.
Oh.
I finished it and started reading from the beginning again.
Yeah.
It's an incredible book. It's about Portuguese missionaries who went to Japan in the 16th century. And at that time, they had welcomed the missionaries for years, and all of a sudden there was a new leader of Japan, and persecution had broken out. So it's just incredibly interesting. It's all based on true missionaries.
Uh-huh.
So it was just amazing. It's so different of a world, obviously.
There's a couple books. First of all, I think what you said about after you finish a book you loved, that you couldn't read anything else. That happens so much. I just, you almost don't want to read the books you love because that puts you off anything else for like weeks. But Carson McCullers, have you read her?
No.
Okay, you might want to read Carson McCullers, who in some ways reminds me of Flannery O'Connor.
Mm.
So take a look at that. Don't hesitate to read the new Marilynne Robinson book, the companion to Gilead, because I don't think that you'll be disappointed.
Oh, good.
By that. But there's another book that I think when you were talking about missionaries in the Endo book, there's a book called Fieldwork by Misha Berlinski, and that book is one of it's set in Thailand, and it's partly a whodunit, although you know whodunit because the person confessed, but it's more a why done it. And one of the major groups of characters in the book are three generations of missionaries who have come to Thailand from the United States to convert the Thai tribes. And it's one of the very few books that I've ever read in which the missionaries are treated with the utmost respect in that book. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So even if you don't agree or understand what, you know, understand that, why they would do that, you come to an understanding of them. You might still not agree, but you come to an understanding because of the respect he pays to them as characters in the book. It's just a wonderful, wonderful book.
Okay. Is the author Thai?
The author is Berlinski, Berlinski. And then another book or another author that I think you should take a look at is Richard Flanagan. He's an Australian writer. He has a brand new book. Well, it's coming out in September, so put put it on hold at the library.
Okay.
It's called Wanting, W-A-N-T-I-N-G.
Wanting.
And it's that with the English in Australia.
Oh.
And an earlier book by him, which I think you should also take a look at, is Gould's Book of Fish, G-O-U-L-D apostrophe S,
oh.
Gould's Book of Fish.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Let me know what you think, too.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. But, and we want to remind people, too, that you need to go to our, you don't need to, but it's not a bad thing to do. Go to our website, WPR.org, go under Done, and take the questionnaire that Nancy has put together, and then she has librarians working with you, and you will get personal book recommendations depending on your answers to the survey. Why do I like the books I like? There are 1, 2, 4 different areas that she asks you to fill out which sentence or just mark which sentence is applicable to you in your reading. And then you'll send it to her and you'll get recommendations. It's pretty good. We go next to Bev from Eau Claire. Hello, Bev.
Good morning.
Hi.
Say, I have a girlfriend who spent a year teaching in Alaska and came home with a book that is very popular up there and was an amazing story called And She Was. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but very infrequently do my 24-year-old daughter and I stumble across a book that we both declare as our favorite.
Really?
Yes. And we both have declared this as our favorite. And it's a story of a young girl that goes to Alaska and spends time in the Aleutian Islands trying to find herself. And she stumbles across a village of Native women who more or less help her on her journey to find herself through their journey in finding themselves. And it's just written beautifully, and you feel yourself in the Aleutian Islands, and it's a remarkable book.
Well, isn't that wonderful that books can kind of make you even closer than you would be?
Yes.
That's such a special feeling.
Yes, and this young lady in the story, you know, has her difficulties, as all of us do, and was something my daughter didn't always want to discuss, and it sort of brought us to that point where we could then discuss it.
That's great!
It's an amazing story.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
and she was
good.
Thank you, Bev.
Thank you,
Kathy from Dodgeville. Hi.
Hi. Thank
Hello.
You for answering my call. I had a question or just a statement. I got a car last year for the first time that had a CD player, and so I've been listening to books on CD, which is new for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the series that I've just really been enjoying a lot is by Jennifer Cheverini,
uh-huh.
the Elm Creek Quilters series. Have you listened to any of those books or read any of those books?
I have read them. I have not listened to them.
The reader is outstanding.
Oh, that's good to know.
Really outstanding. Her name is Christina Moore,
uh-huh.
narrator.
Now, are you inclined then to just, you know, because you can probably go to your library's catalog and look up her and see what other books she's recorded.
Yes.
And so hearing that would incline you to do that kind of thing?
I think it would.
Because one of the things I think about a lot is that when you're reading a book yourself, it's like you and the author together are creating this world.
Yes.
And when you're listening to a book, you're still reading it, but there's a third person that's entered that kind of dialogue with you.
I know, it's very different.
It is. It is. It's not, you know, it's not better and it's not worse. It's just so different.
I think the reader that was most important for me when I first heard were the books read, the number one ladies detective agency books.
Uh-huh.
Which, because of the names used in the book, it was just so nice to hear this wonderful African accent reading the names, and I got a really, really good feel for the whole area, I think, uh-huh. by listening to that on CD.
It's so interesting what that does, what dimension it adds, and how it changes our kind of our feelings about the book, because people will listen to books that they would never read.
Well, and that's correct. That's true for me, because generally I tend to read mysteries all of the time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm finding I go through the CD section of the library and I pick interesting titles. And I, for instance, I just listened to Pearl Buck's The Good Earth, and my God, I read that 30 years ago.
Oh, so did I. Long time ago. Thank you so much for your call. It is fun to get your first CD in your car. Well, Nancy, as always, terrific pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks,
always
Nancy.
My pleasure.
Yeah, ours as well. Nancy Pearl, please remember to go to WPR.org, look under Kathleen Dunn, and take our, if you want book recommendations, how can you say no to this? Why do I like the books I like? And you just think of one of your favorite books, and then for each section, pick the sentence that best describes your experience reading the book, and Nancy will, along with the help of librarians, send you a recommendation. Pretty great, huh? Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Jolema Noel for on-air production. We'll be with you again on Monday on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.